Senator Chris Gildon joins us now, who's a Republican that represents the Puyallup area. That's District 25. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Hey, I want to ask you about this. I was initially kind of shocked and thrilled when I saw that Bob Ferguson said, I'm not signing that budget. I'm not going to sign the wealth tax. And then I realized after I read his comments that he was merely saying, I don't think we can get away with it. The courts are going to throw it out. It's that bad that even a Democrat governor would come to that conclusion and that he would end up with a budget missing several billion dollars that were going to come from a crazy wealth tax that should never have seen the light of day. But I want to know whether or not you think that the Republicans have a plan that could actually meet all of Bob Ferguson's ideas or demands and get a solid budget for the state of Washington.
Well, that is a great question, Lars. And as a matter of fact, we do. It's called, we have actually taken the time to write a full, complete state operating budget. It's called the Save Washington Budget. And if you want to Google it, the S is a money sign. We actually offered that budget as an alternative to the Senate budget before it passed. And the bottom line is, Lars, is yes, it is possible, even in this environment, despite how much you've heard about the budget gap, you can have a budget that fully funds the priorities and needs of Washington State citizens. It keeps people connected to services who need services. It funds K-12 education, and it does so without raising any additional taxes or cutting people off of services that they need. So, yes, it can certainly be done. We offered it as an amendment, and it went down basically on a party line vote.
Even though it meets all the criteria that you outlined, that Bob Ferguson had outlined, saying it has to meet these five criteria, it meets all five of those, and yet the Democrats in the legislature would not vote for it.
Our budget meets every criteria laid out by Governor Ferguson. Additionally, it does provide the $100 million for hiring law enforcement officers that the Senate operating budget proposal does not provide.
Okay, so what is it going to take to get the state to a sensible place? Because the state of Washington has seen its revenues grow hugely and far faster than anybody's paychecks. And this isn't about the pandemic. If you go back a decade, the amount of revenue growth that the state of Washington has seen, I think, equals about 10% a year. I don't know of anybody who's had a 10% raise every year for the last decade, but government has. How do we get this back under control? Because the Democrats seem bound and determined to raise as many taxes as they can to support unrealistic levels of spending.
Well, you bring up a great point, because we've shown with the Save Washington budget what can be done, that you can fund our needs. You don't need a penny of new taxes. So any vote for new taxes this year is going to be one of values. And it's going to be one that says that anyone who votes for new taxes, they're explicitly saying that their value lies in increased taxes and growing the government, and their value does not lie with maintaining or even trying to maintain any level of affordability for the people of our state. If they pass taxes this year, the Senate Democrats and the House Democrats in Olympia can never, ever say again that they stand for affordability for the people of our state, because their vote will have proven it.
Senator Gildon, tell me this. What do you think they realize what they're about to do to the gold mine that technology industries have been for the Northwest? I mean, Oregon has some really big technology employers. One of the biggest private employers outside of government is Intel. And, of course, in the Seattle area, you've got Amazon, you've got Microsoft, and even Boeing, which is arguably a technology company, and a lot of other smaller ones who I can't name. But the fact is that they're going to scare a lot of these industries and the biggest people behind them out of the region the same way California has, aren't they?
Yeah, well, and so they do have the wealth tax and they do have the jobs tax. And I'm going to be honest with you, Lars, from my perspective, wealthy people and large companies, they have the wherewithal to fight their battles. But there's one of those taxes that I am keenly focused on, and that is the proposal to raise property taxes on people in our state, because that is the one that's going to have the most negative effect on the people that I represent. And that is something that I will do. I will exercise every bit of authority that I have here in Olympia to fight against that particular tax. But I do have breaking news for you, if you like.
What's that? Please give us some good news.
All right, it's going to be a Lars Larson exclusive. So the state Senate just maybe less than an hour ago, voted to send the operating budget to conference committee. So what that means is the House and the Senate, they both have to pass identical operating budgets. Right now, there are major differences between the House and the Senate. So the Senate just voted to send this operating budget to a conference committee. That means that you're going to have a group of most likely four legislators, two senators and two Republicans, going into a back room and figuring out what the budget is going to look like. Now, a lot of times that's common because there are minor differences in the budget, but this year the budget is going to change dramatically because of what Governor Ferguson said yesterday. So all of those decisions are going to be made by four legislators, two senators and two Republicans, in a back room without public comment and without any public input. And to make it worse, none of the legislators will be able to have an amendment or have a voice on what happens. It'll just come back to us and it'll be a straight up or down vote at the end of the day.
Now, hold on. Is that within the rules of the legislature to do business that way?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is that within the rules of the state Senate and the state House to form legislation that way?
It is. And so you can do it two ways, right? You can send it to the conference committee. Like I said, typically that's done with minor changes. Or the other way that is also typically done is the Senate, for example, would just refuse to concur with the House's amendments, send it back to the House, and it would go through the normal amendatory process, and then it would bounce back and forth between the House and the Senate until it would arrive at a budget that could pass both chambers. That is the open route. And so when they made the vote today, when they made the motion to send this bill to conference committee, we took a vote on it. I made the statement, you know, you have two options. You can do this in the dark, in a closet, without public input, or you can be open about it.
And how did Republicans vote on that, Senator?
So all the Republicans voted for it, and all of the Democrats voted against it.
The Republicans voted to do it in public and with public process. Am I right? No?
The Republicans voted for open, honest, transparent
Good.
Government, and the Democrats voted for closed, non-transparent government.
Unbelievable. So they want to do this, and this gives cover to everybody because they can say, well, I didn't have any choice. It was this or nothing. It was take the deal as it's been crafted behind closed doors by a very small group of people, not your entire representative legislature. Senator Gildin, thank you very much.